Welcome to Aesthetic Pulse, where we help passionate and caring aesthetic practice leaders get clarity around what is and what is not working in marketing.
So get out your pen and paper because we are here to open the hood and show you how you can take actionable steps to improving your aesthetics practice.
We are thrilled you're here.
Welcome, welcome. Hello, everyone. Today we are going to be talking about something that seems obvious, but it totally isn't. And there's a lot more complexity to it than you would think. So we have put together some notes here just to make sure we don't miss anything for you guys. This is going to be an episode where we talk about your Instagram profile and how to optimize it to the best of your ability. So that way when prospective clients come and check out your Instagram profile, that they love what they see and that they're able to get a gist of you and your business at first glance.
I think something really important to mention is that your Instagram account is a lot like your website. And I want everyone listening to start thinking about it in that sense. So when we talk about your bio and just, you know, your highlight covers and the pin posts and things we're going to get into today, try to think of that as your website main page, because that's going to be the first thing where people are either going to be impressed or they're not. And so we want to teach you how to really, really capitalize on it so you can have the best chance at impressing that potential clientele.
Yes, totally. So we've kind of broken down all of the different parts of Instagram, the different uses of Instagram, into three levels. So we'll kind of go through beginner level, intermediate level, and advanced level of like how to optimize your bio, because there are your whole profile, because there are so many pieces and parts and little tricks, tips, strategies, thoughts, ideas around each individual piece. So we wanted to make sure that you could, like, no matter where you're at in your journey, you could pick one and start wherever you are. So if you are listening to the beginner section and you're like, yes, I've already done that, check, you can move on. We did kind of put them in a priority list of things that we found to be most important. So the beginner section or beginner's level, this is something that all Instagram profiles for businesses should have optimized. So the first one is obvious, your handle. So your handle is the @ and then whatever your business name is. Now, the handle, I've noticed with just spending so much time on Instagram that a lot of people have, you know, underscores throughout it. And I think that it can be challenging when you have dots and underscores in your handle because it's not intuitive to search for it. So like if I wanted to go and search out, you know, Smith and Crawford, I don't think I would do Smith underscore and underscore Crawford. Do you know what I mean? I just don't think, like, I just intuitively wouldn't do that. I would just type it all in one. And I know that there are certain instances where, like, you have a similar business name as someone else potentially. And so you have to improvise, but I would suggest against doing the underscores and dots in there. Just it makes it difficult to search.
Yeah, at least as minimal as possible. And to tag along with that, please do your business name. I've seen sometimes where it's like, the skincare girlies or something like that. But if you have a client, they're not looking that up when they're trying to find you on Instagram.
Right.
They're going to type in your business name. So yes, do make sure it's your business name. I would highly, highly, highly stress and encourage you to do that, because for SEO purposes, when people are trying to search for you, they're going to look up your business name. They're not looking up something random.
They're not looking up the Indiana injector. You know, like they're going to look up who you, what your business name is if they're searching for you. So,
and if now, there is an Indiana injector out there listening, we're so sorry.
Well, I'm just thinking like if you're an individual injector and then you work for a larger med spa and then the med spa has its own like Instagram, and then this is your personal Instagram for you as an injector, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But this is for like your, this is for a med spa business owner page. And unless if your business name is the Indiana injector,
yeah,
I would try to do it the name of your med spa for sure. That is the handle. So when people say Instagram handle, that's what it is. Now there's another section in there called name. And so in there, when you're looking at an Instagram profile, so you're going to see the profile picture, and then directly below the profile picture, there's that bolded text that's under there. And this is the most important part for search engine optimization for seekers looking for your services near them. So in here, you're not going to want to put the name of your business. You're not going to want to put your personal name. You're going to want to put the city that you're in and then the services that you offer. So as an example, I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We'll pretend that I own a med spa. I would do Grand Rapids med spa, and then I would do Botox dot filler dot microneedling dot lasers, like whatever main services I offer, that I would do it Grand Rapids med spa. And then I would do so, because that's what people are going to search for, Grand yep. Rapids med spa. They're not going to be searching Andrea Smith, you know, my credentials. They're going to be searching, yeah. You know. So yeah, that's a huge one for SEO. The most important when it comes down to SEO is going to be your name. So definitely make sure that with that, you are using that for search engine optimization purposes.
And if you have a plethora of services and you're like, I don't have room, do the ones that you think most people are going to search, or the services that you want to be known for the most.
Right. People are not searching out PRF.
Probably not.
They're not. Clients don't know what that is unless they've had it done before.
Yeah.
And if they've had it done before, they're not going to just be randomly searching for it. But I would say, like, that's one that I wouldn't say people are actively searching out. It's one of my favorite services.
Yeah.
It, like, PRF changed a girl's life. Okay. But I would say it's not something people are actively searching out, like they are Botox or fillers or, you know, microneedling even, or like lasers. That those are going to be the main things that people are searching for. So that yep. is super, super important. And then the next part in beginner. So we have name, handle, we have bio. So bio is so tricky because as the limited characters.
Yes.
But yeah, bio is super important.
Yeah. So with the bio, I will say the most important thing is to really, I want to say, just brag about yourself. And I know sometimes people have a hard time doing that, but really that's what you need to do. So if you're like a plastic surgeon listening, you would want to put something like Seattle's number one plastic surgeon 5 years in a row, or like something that kind of talks about your credentials or why you are an authority in your space. I think that would be really important. I would also say telling people exactly what you do. And, you know, having creative bios is great and I would encourage it, but to a point. You don't want to be so creative that people are looking at your account going, okay, what do they do? I'm confused. You want to get straight to the point, but add personality in it. If it's just like bullet point, best of the best 2 years in a row, and that's all that it is, you know, people aren't going to relate to that. This is on like a personal level, and this has nothing to do with a med spa. So you're going to laugh that I'm even giving this example, but my point is you want to relate to someone. I remember I was looking up a girl that was moving to the area. My husband's in medical residency right now. And so trying to find community where you match can be hard. And I found out there was this girl that was moving to our area. And so I looked her up and she had the funniest bio. And I immediately messaged her and I'm like, we have to be best friends, because it was so hysterical. And she was like talking about how she was like, I'm a grilled cheese. For some reason, she said something really funny about grilled cheese. I don't even remember exactly what she said, but I was like peeing my pants laughing because the way she wrote her bio, I was dying. And I'm like, I relate to her so much. And so I immediately messaged her. So obviously I'm not encouraging you to talk about grilled cheese on your bio, but like, what was the thing that got you into aesthetics? What if you're like tired mom just trying to brighten my under eyes, you know? Like the rest of us, you know, something that almost make someone relate to you immediately. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I would avoid saying things like helping women feel their best,
or yeah, too generic.
That's too generic.
I do want to say that with the bio, now this is a trick. So if you're in there trying to type, you cannot hit the enter button. Instagram does not allow you to do that. So what your trick is to go into your notes on your phone and type it in your notes and then copy and paste it. It does have limited character counts, so you sometimes have to kind of fiddle around with it a little bit. But I would encourage you to do bullet points more than like one solid paragraph. And I would encourage emojis to a certain extent, like as your bullets that are on brand. So like if your branding is related to flowers, I would choose some flower emojis to use.
Yep.
We have a client that has like a water theme. So we use like a water droplet as an example. So like I would try to kind of go with what's on brand for you and use the emojis. But like I just kind of wanted to read some examples just on here of some good bios and then bios that I would say are like, yeah. So I would say like one is, I'm just going to read an example. So like one has a bullet point and it says natural results expert. Great. Love that. Filler peels Botox microneedling. Great. Tells what she does, except for that should be in your name. So we kind of talked about at the beginning, really wanting to optimize each individual piece of real estate, but it's good to know this person says 26 years experience. That's great. That makes me as a consumer go, oh, wow, that 26 years, that's great. And then she has her address. So I would say the address isn't as important because there's an actual address section that you can actually put that in. So she's wasting real estate in there with that. I want to give another example. This one says best of the best. I'm going to leave the city name out. Voted 2 years in a row with a little trophy. Love it. That's the top all capital. So you're telling them like, wow, this person's really been voted twice. Says cultivating self-love through exceptional results. Love it because you're like telling them you're going to cultivate self-love. Click to book consultations with an arrow down with the link to book consultation. So that's great. It has a call to action. I think a call to action in a bio is super cool. And then I'm going to read another example here. And this one says, here you will find a new space in Atlanta for all your beauty and wellness needs. I wouldn't say that's my super favorite just because it doesn't really tell you anything.
No, it's very generic. You want, and I think something that's important is almost having somewhat of a specialty or a focus that your clinic really focuses on. Even if you do it all, you know, what drew you into aesthetics personally? Mm-hmm. Was it because you help people, you know, is it because you got rid of your acne through medical grade skincare and laser services or whatever? If that's the case, you know, maybe focusing a little bit on that, like you want to be results driven and you want to be creative as like, you just want to stay away from being super generic. And like, what does that really tell you? We're beauty experts in Atlanta. Great. But like beauty experts could mean 1,000 different things. So
yeah, I agree.
And I would even encourage like with all of the bios, again, creativity is incredible. You know, being as creative as you can is good, but also being as specific as possible as well. I think maybe at some point we should go on Instagram. This is just an idea I had, Andrea. Let us know if you're listening to this and want us to do that. Email us. We have our email in the show notes. I just had the idea. It would be so fun to go live on Instagram and do bio audits for people, like on the spot. Like, audit my bio.
You know? That would be really fun. I was just looking at another person's and it says, keeping Hunt County gorgeous. And I thought that's so cute. Like someone would read that and be like, oh, I'm in Hunt County and I want to be gorgeous. You know?
Yeah.
I love that idea. And I think we could do some laser coaching, you know, on those and kind of do some, that would be really fun. So that's the bio. Bio's definitely, the trick is to type them in your notes and then paste them in there. So definitely there's a lot to go with that. But I would just look at people's, get ideas, see what you like, what you don't, and then try to be creative and come up with something. You can probably, honest to goodness, use ChatGPT to help you too. Come up with a few like creative ways to word things.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing that's essential that we have in the beginner category, because like you have to have this to even have an Instagram, is your profile picture. And I really want to go over, you know, good ideas to have in your profile picture and like not our favorite things. I would say sometimes I literally see plain colors as a profile picture. No, that's just a no, no. If I see that, no, we're not doing that. I would say other things I don't love seeing as a profile picture is your logo. I don't love seeing that. When you just have to remember that when someone is looking at your profile, you want them to feel attached to you. Because again, there are a million med spas out there, right? There's a million plastic surgeons out there. There's so many dermatologists. But what's really going to sell people and get you loyal clientele is when they can be attached to you. So for your profile picture, I'm going to highly, highly suggest a really beautiful, handsome picture of yourself that you really love as the profile picture, because they immediately are associating your business with a face. Or if there's five of you, a really nice picture of the team. So if you have like 25 people on your team, don't do that either. I don't want to see, 25 people in a bubble this big that you can't really see a face. So I would say sticking to just a few people is fine, but you really want people to, again, attach the name to a face. That's going to be really important. So I highly suggest only keeping it like pictures of you or a few of your staff and you for your profile picture.
I would also like even take it one notch further in saying professional photos that are well lit.
Yes.
And high resolution too, because I have seen like kind of the more low budget looking, and like a big thing that listeners, I know all of you all are wanting to charge more. Everyone wants to charge more for their stuff. Everyone. No one's like, how can I decrease my prices?
It's true.
So I would say a well-lit photo. Now I say that and I have my phone right here and I'm looking at R. Smith and Crawford, and it's like, that's not a super well-lit photo, but it is a professional photo. It's just interesting. I would say try to find like a professional photo that looks like your vibe. So if you look at our profile picture and then you go to our website, our profile picture is the vibe of our website for sure. So I would say kind of trying to keep everything looking like a similar look and feel across the board, but definitely human beings in the picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And with ours, just like a side note too, like Andrea said, that's our branding. So it made sense for us, but I would say it's still, even though the background's dark, it's still like a clear, good picture. It's not.
Yeah, you can see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have, I really like our photo for the fact that it matches our branding.
Yeah.
Okay. So beginner, just to recap, beginner level, like absolute red flashing lights of things you need to do. Your name needs to be your city and your services. Your handle needs to be your business name with minimal use of special characters. Your bio needs to be super clear, creative. Type it in your notes and paste it in there. Try to use ChatGPT if you need to. And then your profile picture. So those four things are like super must-have things for your Instagram profile. The next level up, once you've mastered those four, will be the intermediate level. And those would be the things like the link in bio, your highlight bubbles strategy, and then your pinned posts. So we're going to go through those things. So first, your link in bio is super important because you, up until recently, could only have one link in your Instagram profile. I would still encourage you only to really use one, just from the standpoint that it's easier to keep one thing updated than like trying to manage too many things when you're all busy anyway. But if you have someone managing your website or you manage your website, it's very easy to just create a simple page with buttons on it of that links to all the different links. So it's like a quick links. Everyone has seen a link in bio, like the actual, like, or link tree. That's what I wanted to call it. Everyone's seen a link tree, but it's a link tree with no branding on it for link tree. But if you want to use a link tree, you should use a link tree. But a link in bio, basically, you're going to want to have all your important links. So your website, if you have an event coming up with RSVPs, put that at the top of the list. If you have skincare stores, like Skin Better requires you to use their store. If you have, any like payment plan option applications, like Cherry payment plans that they can apply there. If you have, obviously, your booking link for people to book appointments there, any important links that you have, if you've been featured somewhere, like you have an article where you've been featured, that's a great one to have in there, but definitely utilize the link in bio. And an ideal state would be that it's your website / links, so that it's branded to your website. And then when someone's already there, they're like, oh, perusing around the rest of your website, so it kind of is like a nice way for them to get to your website, and it's easier to track traffic that way too. But if you just want to have, like, if you're just getting started, a link tree is fine just to get started, but definitely put all those links in there.
And like, if you have a podcast or are featured on a podcast or anything like that, definitely do that. I would also advise, especially if you're using something like a Linktree, having a direct link to your website. Yes, a booking link, but also just so people can go check out your website as well, making it really easy for them.
I really don't love it when I go to a med spa Instagram and then their only link that they have is their booking link. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I want to see your website and I can't find it. So then I have to go search you out online. And it's like, if I'm doing that, I know for sure clients aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
They're just going to move on.
Yeah. If we don't want to do something and this is, you know, the industry we're in,
yeah,
a client's not going to want to. So yeah, make it easy for people to find your stuff.
For sure. So yeah, that's the link in bio. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple, but it's very important. And then also, if you have all the links in one place, then it makes it easier in your content to say, you can find this in my link in bio.
Right.
You can always say that. And then you're not having to like, oh, what link goes here? And then Instagram, I wish they would change it, but I know they're probably not going to. But in the captions, you can't click links in there.
Yeah.
So like you, because you can't do like RSVP here and then put your RSVP link in the Instagram caption, it has to go in a story with a sticker link. Yeah, I would say, yeah, that's just kind of the trouble with it. So definitely using the links in the link in bio and then, you know, being able to reference that. So that's links.
Yeah.
And then, yeah,
then highlight bubbles. We have highlight covers. So your highlight covers, first of all, I would highly suggest that they are branded to you somehow. So, you know, again, like Andrea was talking about in, you know, simple terms, if you have a very florally kind of aesthetic, matching the colors, the types of flowers that you usually use for those covers is great. You don't want to have branding that's like really soft and feminine and then have like this really intimidating, massive looking needle as a highlight cover. Like you want it to fit the vibe. So if you're soft and feminine, making sure it's soft and feminine. If it's like moody and dark and sexy, then like having the same vibe for your highlight covers. And also making sure, again, that they're branded to you, but that they're simple. You don't want to have things that are too complex because then people are like, ah, it's too busy. So I also want to talk about what kinds of things to highlight in your highlight bubbles, because something that's very important that we're going to keep reiterating in this podcast is it is crucial to diversify your profile as much as possible. You don't need to reiterate the same thing 500 times. Instead, you want to be like, okay, how can I optimize this to get the most bang for my buck in this limited space that I have? So if you've already, well, we're going to go into pinned posts, but you want to be strategic that the pinned posts you have are not also in your highlight bubble. So for instance, if you want to talk about like where you're located in a pinned post, that's great, but don't have a highlight bubble that's also like our location or something like that, because then you're just wasting space where you could be optimizing it for other things. So a couple examples of things that I would always suggest having there, testimonials. People want to see results. I would say sometimes we get caught up in thinking like it has to look perfect or look a certain way or have to be designed perfect. And while I think those are great too, and you definitely should do those, it's okay to also like showcase a screenshot someone sent you. Like that's okay too. So like anything you want to highlight for testimonials or look at all these people who got their acne clear, you know, with me, like it's okay. It doesn't have to be like picture perfect, but just showcasing testimonials is so important. The next thing that I would say is a must have is before and afters. And you can split those up. I actually would encourage you to split them up. I would not say just have one bubble that says before and afters and then have, you know, 50 different ones. People will get bored very easily. If you are known for your lips that you do for people, have a separate one that's just like lips. And then so that they can look through just your lips, because maybe that's all that they're really interested in the time being, or tops, or, you know, laser hair removal, or, you know, and you can showcase someone's underarms or something like that and the progression that they've made. So having really good variety of before and afters is crucial. Another thing I would really suggest is going over specific pain points that people have. So for instance, if you're an acne clinic, making sure you have highlight covers that talk about acne tips, like common, you know, maybe going over like common ingredients that trigger acne, nutritious foods to help with acne, like really having good educational stuff that's specific to people's pain points. Because if you do that, people are then going to see you as an authority in this space and as someone who truly can help them with their problem. So let's say, you know, you want to have a bubble that's like dry skin. So if someone has dry skin and you like have amazing hydrating treatments and amazing hydrating products, you can showcase some of those things that are great for dry skin. Or maybe you have one for pregnant women. Like, then they can have a guide of what are things they can still do while they're pregnant. Or you just want to have things that are very specific. And Andrea, you can chime in too if you want. But I just feel like the more specific to someone's problem or life situation, the better, because then they identify themselves and they immediately want to see what you have to say. And then they're building you as an authority in their heads as they're going through that.
Yeah, I want to just piggyback on that and say that the whole purpose of your Instagram profile is to attract new clients. It's mm-hmm. not like if you have personal stuff you want to share, you totally should on your personal Instagram page. And I think like some stuff in stories is fine. But as an example, like I see it a lot, actually, the more that you're talking through this, and I'm like, yes, 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 I like everything you're saying. I also, on the flip side, see stories of like family trips or like, you know, conferences that these people went to. And then they have like a whole highlight bubble about like New York City med spa conference. And it's like, if you really in your heart of hearts step back from the emotional side of like you had a good time on the trip, but do prospective clients want to look at like pictures of the food you ate and you doing like a boomerang cheersing your Cosmos? And like, no, people don't want to see that. Like that's not going to draw them in to come and see you. What's going to draw them in to come and see you is testimonials, before and afters, you giving them advice and help and tips and proving that you're an expert in what you do. There is value, of course, in going to conferences and having people know you go to them, but I wouldn't do it as a story highlight cover, like bubble, and then having it like, you know, 20 stories of you like partying it up, you know, and then in conferences and stuff. That's just not necessarily going to draw in new clients.
No, the only time I would say, like, this is the only outlier I can think of where I would say it's appropriate is if there's something you regularly do for clients that you want them to like, ooh, I want to be a part of that. Cause they're not coming to conferences with you, right? But let's say you have like a quarterly client appreciation event and you want to highlight some of the things people get to do at your quarterly client appreciation event. If it's something and I'm not saying just a regular event, if you just throw a random event in during the holidays, I don't want to see it on your highlight covers either. What I want to see though is if it's something that's regular that people can look forward to, that's the only time I would say that's an exception, is if it's something that a client could benefit from in the future and something they would look forward to. Yeah, I'd say that's the only outlier in that situation.
I do want to walk through the logistics of story highlight bubbles for anyone who's listening that's just not really sure how to do them, how to organize them, how to like get them in there. So in order to get something in a highlight, it has to be posted to stories first.
Yep.
So you have to create it, put it in stories, and then when it's live, you can touch on it and then do add to highlight, and then you select the highlight that you want it to go to. If it expires and it's been 24 hours, you can go into your settings and find the stories that you've done recently, and you can go back and add them retroactively. And then at that time, you can create a new one and you can add the cover and then like the description of it. Now you can also, if you're logged into your profile, you can go to your profile, click on a highlight bubble, and then it will show you all the stories in it. And you can in bulk remove a bunch of stuff if you want to move things around. So like, as an example, if you changed your branding and you have old branded stuff in there and you want to delete it out, you don't have to individually do it.
Yeah.
You can go to it and kind of remove it. So in order for something to become in your highlight bubbles, it has to be posted to stories first.
Yeah.
So the concept is like stories that you want to have live forever. But we're looking at it from a standpoint of like, how can you optimize that section to showcase your business? So that's really the point of that one. So then pinned posts. Pinned posts are the next thing. Pinned posts are you're allowed to have three. Current state, you're allowed to have three. So it's in the top of your feed. You'll notice it on people's where it has that little like thumbtack in the corner of the picture. And those just mean they stay there forever. And then everything else gets posted after them. So for us, we suggest optimizing those for like the three most important questions that people are going to ask. Who are you? Where are you located? And what services do you offer? So those are the three pin posts we always do for clients. An about me one where we do, like, if they have a whole team, we do a carousel post with each team member and a detailed bio of that person, of each person. And then, like, you know, interesting facts about them, maybe their education, their favorite service. Like, we kind of try to make it personality filled too, but we do an about me one or about us, whichever one. We do a services one. The services one is also always a carousel post where we're going through each service. And so we wouldn't do like Botox, Juvo, Dysport, Xeomin as individual. We would just say like tox and then list them on that one slide. And then we would talk about fillers. And then we would talk about microneedling and laser hair removal. And, you know, so we kind of go through it in that medical grade skincare. And we list out kind of the different brands that they offer. But these ones are tricky because you always have to remember to keep them updated. And then the last one is, where are you? So this one is great to have like a picture of the outside of your building, maybe your signage if you're in like a medical office building, maybe your waiting room. And then in that caption listing, like, where do people park? And do they have to get a parking ticket through like a parking ramp? Or can they park on the street? Do they park in the back of the building? You know, do they have to like take an elevator to get up to where you're going? Like, give them detailed instructions. So that way when they're looking at it, they can kind of visualize where you are and then they get a feel for it. So it's kind of nice for that one too. You can expand that one to have, you know, where you're at and then put inside of there like pictures of the inside of your space, like in a carousel too, like your waiting room and your exam rooms and, you know, just kind of like give them a look and feel for the inside of your space. But again, for pin posts, we like to do about me or about us, services, and location. And so we like to pin those three at the top so that those are like the three most frequently needed to know things. And so those would be things you would also want to avoid putting in highlight bubbles because, you know, that you're already using that real estate for something else.
I would say along with location, I don't want people thinking like, here's a picture and here's our address. That's boring. That's not what we're talking about because you could just put that in the bio part. What I really want to reemphasize is your location should be already setting people up for what they can expect when they come. So when you write this copy, you want to make sure it's really what people can expect. Do you have a warm personal atmosphere where they're going to be treated like an individual and not a number? This is so much more than just like, here's our address. We'll see you soon. You know, Andrea said, of course, any barriers people might have trying to find you, addressing those. What about things that make your clinic unique? Do you have certain hours that they need to be aware of? You know, are you open every Saturday? And, you know, sometimes people aren't, you know, like what makes your clinic unique? Be thinking of it from that lens, not so much like, here's our address, come and find us. It's more so establishing the feel and the expectations of what they can expect before coming in. Cause that's really important. Like, I want to read and then at the end of it, be like, I'm dying to come here. Not I read it and it feels like, oh, there's their address. They can just look you up on Google. Like, of course, put the address in there. But what I'm trying to get at here is your location pinned post is not just an address because people can find that other places. I really want to emphasize you're establishing what people can expect from the
get-go. I want to read a caption for one just to kind of explain like further what you were saying too. So this one says, welcome to your new home away from home. Our cute, luxurious studio is located in the heart of Virginia's. I'm going to leave the rest of it out just so we're not calling out anyone specific. In our second location, so then there's an address. From the moment you walk through our doors, you will be embraced by our inviting atmosphere and friendly faces. We take pride in creating an ambiance that puts our clients at ease, transporting them into a tranquil, stress-free oasis while receiving top-notch services. Not only will you never want to leave, but you'll definitely be back for more. We can't wait to have you help you reach your aesthetics goals. Looking forward to seeing you. So it is more than just where we're located, here's how you park, but it still has the critical information in there.
Yeah. I love that. Such a good example. We didn't do that at all.
Who wrote that? Who wrote that one? Okay, so Intermediate, to just go and recap intermediate. So your link in bio, super important, have all of your links. Your yep. highlight bubbles / covers, very important to have a branded look and feel for them and a really good strategy around highlighting your business. It's all the high points. And then your pin posts are going to be for like frequently most need to know information. And that's going to be about services and location. So once you've mastered the beginner and intermediate level of your profile optimization here, you're going to move into advanced. And so that will include the look and feel of your feed, your look and feel of your Reels covers, because those can be seen on your profile. And then just one little brief touch on broadcast channels, because it's a new subject within Instagram, a new feature.
Yeah. So let's jump into it. So let's start with the overall feed aesthetic. Something that I really want to encourage is, I gotta be careful a little bit say this, but please, when you're thinking of your feed aesthetic, be consistent. We talk about this. I mean, I don't know how many times we've talked about this. Basically every episode, I feel like we talk about how important your online presence is, that people feel like they know you before walking in, right? And we talk about this principle so many times, and I just want to emphasize this again, that if you just have a profile full of stock images, even if it's beautiful and well-done stock images or like beautifully designed stuff, you need organic pictures, or else people are not going to feel like they have a feel for who you are before coming in. And that's the most important thing that we're trying to accomplish here. So not only just not using stock, but let's also talk about colors. We're going to talk about this so many times, and I cannot reemphasize this enough. Please stay consistent with your branding.
Hey, even so if let me ask you, what's your least favorite day of the whole year?
St. Patrick's Day. It's both of our least favorite things ever, because every business in America, I swear, has a freaking green and gold post that says Happy St. Patrick's Day, and no one cares. I've never once cared. And I'm not saying this to hurt any feelings, but let's just be honest. No one cares about that day.
No, and like if you're going to use that day for your marketing, like don't leave your skincare up to luck, or like, you know, luck of the Irish, and you're going to do like a four leaf clover package or something, that's totally okay. And you should be like relevant with the times. But just a post, this kills me too, Memorial Day, 4th of July, where it's like an American flag. And Lord knows, and you know how much I love America. So yeah. You know.
I know.
But I don't want to see it when you have pink branding and then you're just putting a straight up American flag in there. That's not relevant. Like if you want to put that in there, go ham in stories. Okay. Go wild in stories. You can put whatever you want in stories. But like the day after St. Patrick's Day, no one even cares about it that it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday, yet we have to suffer every time we look at your Instagram profile with your St. Patrick's Day post that you posted 3 weeks ago, and I've already moved on to Cinco de Mayo now. I've moved on. I've moved on. But I don't want to be suffering every time.
No, and if you want to post that kind of stuff in stories, or, you know, it's totally fine to be like, you know, especially if it's something creative, especially where it's like, where you're celebrating the 4th of July a specific way, or you want to be like, if you also work at a hospital and be like, I don't want to see any of you in the emergency room, please be careful today. Or like, if you want to do something cheeky and fun with it, please do it. But always put that kind of stuff in stories, because again, no one cares after the 24 hours. So leave that stuff in stories where it only lasts 24 hours. But stick to your branding. You do not need a green St. Patrick's Day post when you have feminine and beautiful, you know, light and pastel-y kind of colors or something like that. Like, leave it alone. Put the phone down. Don't do it. Please.
I dread that day. I dread it. I dread St. Patrick's Day is just the worst day of colors for people. So no one has green and gold. No one.
Well, maybe someone does out there. And if that's you, then that's great. But please still don't post about just a happy St. Patrick's Day. Like, please have a purpose behind it.
Like, make it relevant, please. Yeah,
please. But with your feed aesthetic, again, please stick to the same colors, the same fonts, and organic pictures, because your feed is going to look so nice and pleasant to look at. It's not going to look busy. It's going to look just easy. And that's what you want people to feel. Like, I have an ease looking at this, not like my eyes are like,
because yes, there's and so that much being going said, on. The another thing about that. So two other points that I've noticed, because I've been looking at a lot of Instagram profiles lately for a separate project that we're working on. One thing too is like, okay, Canva, there are incredible designs on Canva. Like every design is beautiful and you're like, oh, I want to use that. I want to use that one. I want to use that one. You can't. Like, you have to pick a branding and stick with it. You cannot just go with the Canva design of the day for your announcement. You cannot do that. I mean, you can, but it's just going to end up looking like a cheap Instagram. And when people see a cheap Instagram, they expect cheap prices. So pick your poison, right? So you can't go with the Canva design of the day. You need to have it in a look and feel on your brand. Like, you have got to. So that is one way to really mess up your feed also. And then the other way is having way too much text on one image. Like, I see a lot of people taking what looks like a flyer style, like these are all of our specials or our event, and every single detail on planet Earth about the event or this promotion, and they put it on one graphic, and there's like 100 words on that one graphic, and it's too much. It should not be a flyer looking thing on your Instagram profile, because it's just too cluttery and you can't even read it. It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to want to do is take those same details that are super great to share and super important to share, but spread, you get 10 slides, like use up the 10 slides. And actually the thing that's true about the algorithm is the more time someone spends on a post, the more farther it's going to go. So if you can have them swiping through 10 slides worth of stuff and reading it, you're going to actually improve your reach more than putting everything onto one individual picture.
Yeah.
So you're kind of, it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, for sure. I think just like a basic rule of thumb too, is if you have a busier graphic, try to balance it then with like maybe just a nice simple picture for the next thing. Or like, I'm not over here saying you have to have like this perfect calculated feed aesthetic, but I do think try to balance like the chaos a little bit. Cause if I just see post, 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 post with just so much graphic, like just like so much text and just really busy, it hurts my eyes. Like, it just does. And so
it doesn't look high end. That's for sure.
So you want to try to balance it. Also have things that make sense, please. Please have things that make sense. There was a specific scenario where just a case that I know of where someone really, really wanted their feed to just be like the most random things. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, if you have like bubbles as like the picture, and then all of a sudden your caption's about something completely irrelevant, people are not even going to spend the time to look at the caption. They're not. Mm-mm. So make it relevant. Like, yes, things can look pretty, but you have to be thinking of when your client's looking at your feed, what are they thinking? You got to remember, they're scrolling through thousands of pieces of content. If they just see a picture with some bubbles, they're going to be like, what the crap is this? They're just going to keep scrolling. They're not going to be like, ooh, fascinating. I want to know what the caption's about. It's not going to work that way. You want to grab their attention somehow.
Yeah. Right now, what's trending is carousel posts right now. Of course, that changes on a dime. But okay, so that's the feed. Now, within the feed also goes with reels. So when you post a reel, you have the opportunity when you post the reel to upload a reels cover with it. So that goes along with our strategy of batching content ahead of time. So kind of think ahead of time or have sort of some sort of a strategy for how to access covers quickly so that it's easy for you to put them because they're important in your feed.
Yeah. I would say the biggest thing with reels covers, the biggest, most important thing is please just don't do nothing with a reel cover. Don't just like post a reel without having a reels cover, because if you do that, I've seen some weird stuff that the reel catches for the cover. You don't want a bunch of weird text from your actual reel just like sitting there, because these things are being seen on your profile. Or like one time, again, sometimes I give specific examples and I hope everyone knows this is for educational opportunities. I'm not trying to like hurt anyone's feelings or offend anyone. But one time I literally went on an account and someone didn't, I could tell they didn't do anything for their reels cover. And what ended up happening, it was a very close up of someone's chest. And I know it wasn't on purpose. And I'm not saying it was like inappropriate, someone's chest. I'm just saying it was like literally just a close up of someone's chest. And I'm like, I know that's not what they wanted to do there.
Yeah.
So just remember, try to be intentional about your Reels covers. Make sure you have something, some kind of strategy that you're using for your Reels covers. That's really, really important to just make sure you don't just let Instagram pick what your cover is.
Yeah, for sure. And I really prefer myself as a viewer of people's profiles to have some sort of idea what the reel is about. So as an example, if I'm looking up, you know, like a med spa's profile, I like to go to the reels part of the profile and be able to see what the videos are about and then choose the ones I want to look at. So mm-hmm. definitely keep that in mind. And then the last one I want to touch on is broadcast channels. So that's a new feature as of right now. It's May 2024 right now. The broadcast feature, who knows if it will stick. Sometimes things come and go, but I just wanted to touch on it in case anyone sees it. It's basically where you can invite people to be part of your broadcast channel. And if they accept it, then when you post in it, it's basically a large group message that ends up in your DMs and their DMs. So if you want to, you totally could use it to get into the DMs of clients who are interested in your stuff and just maybe send them a message once a week, just saying like, hey, don't forget I'm offering this special, or hey, don't forget I'm offering this event. It's basically like email marketing, if you will, on a very small scale where people have to opt into it. When you go to people's profiles, it will be around the link in bio section. It will say how many members people have in their broadcast channel. So that's what that is. And I'm sure people who are listening are also getting like a million notifications yeah. right now asking them to join other people's broadcast channels, because I know I am.
With that being said, though, be intentional about it. Like, you don't, first of all, you don't even have to do one. If you don't want to do one.
Yeah, we aren't doing one.
We don't have one right now. Who knows if that will change? Because, you know, we do things different all the time. We're like trying new things. But I would say you don't need one. But if you do have one, make it worth people's time. What if you, if maybe everyone in the broadcast channel, like there's a monthly challenge that you do where it's like, this is our month of hydration. I'm going to give you tips all month long about how to keep your skin hydrated. And not just with your services, maybe you're giving them good tips, like make sure to drink X amount of water, make sure that you're not using hot water when you're showering, and like make sure to keep it more cool. And so you're not drying your skin out. I'm just saying things off the top of my head, or maybe June is coming up. So it's acne awareness month. So you're going to give them some good tips all month long about how to help with their acne. So be intentional about it. Don't just start a broadcast channel because it's like the newest thing.
Right.
And then disappoint people with what's in
it. Same with threads. Threads kind of came and went. So yeah, I wouldn't jump on the bandwagon yet unless you're going to be very intentional with it.
Right.
Gosh, I thought this was going to be a super short episode because I thought it was like a brief topic, and it's so far one of our longest ones.
Yeah.
So one thing I do want to just close the episode out. So if anyone who's still listening, thank you so much. And I hope you got a lot of value out of it. So the advanced section is your feed, your reels, and the broadcast channels. So anyway, we wanted to just say thank you so much for tuning in. We do have our Aesthetically membership, and our Aesthetically membership, for those of you who don't know what it is yet, it is a monthly membership where you are getting an entire customizable social media strategy that includes posts, captions, reels ideas, reels audios, story templates, email templates, trainings, freebies, downloadables, templates, anything you can think of pretty much that's in there is in there for you to be successful with your social media. So if you liked this episode around how to optimize your profile and you really are going to take that and run with it, inside of our membership, we actually have a whole module that details these out in more specific detail. So you can actually download the document and like read through it and make sure to go through it. And then it also has a little video that goes with it too. So if you're interested in joining the membership, we'll have the link in our show notes of how you can check out the page to join if you're interested. And this is just one of, you know, 100 different things in there that are super amazing and helpful, and we change it and improve it all the time. So if you like what you're hearing on here, definitely check out our membership. But if you have any questions, thoughts, concerns, if we missed anything that you wanted to learn more about, our help email is down in the show notes. It's hello@smithandcrawford.com. Feel free to send us a note there or message us on Instagram. I check it all the time. So yeah, I'm excited to see your optimized bios.